You know, we thought we were addressing crime and safety and those things and trying to build community. But now you're saying that housing is more important. We are in a food desert also in this community. That is something I've learned. What looks like a desert is really apartheid. This was not naturally occurring, but through the process of redlining.
Hello, and thank you for joining Regenerative Champion, where our passion is to inspire change and advance support for small-scale farmers engaged in regenerative agricultural practices. On every episode, we highlight the effort of a regenerative farmer who is influencing change to meet community food needs and doing so in the best way for nature and future. I am your host, Sherifat Alabi. On today's episode, our focus is on food sovereignty, and to discuss that is with our regenerative champion, Minister Aaron K. Hopkins. He is an African-American farmer, a community advocate and leader, a man of faith, and the director of the Southside Family Farms in Columbus, Ohio. Minister Aaron is committed to challenging food access and its barriers in his community. Even though Minister Aaron never had any farming experience, he has benefited from the support of his family and various networking opportunities. I had the pleasure of sitting down with Minister Aaron on a drizzling afternoon on his farm, located on the south side of Columbus, Ohio. Dressed for the weather, he humbly received us, and as a good storyteller, I learned a lot from him. He is a well-respected member of his community and sees great possibilities for the future of regenerative agriculture. As we sit back to enjoy this episode, we will uncover Minister Aaron's farming experience and his efforts towards influencing change in the community, including why he believes it is essential to do so. I am sure our listeners want to know you now. Please introduce yourself.
My name is Minister Aaron K. Hopkins. I am the visionary farmer and director here at Southside Family Farms, located on the south side of Columbus, Ohio. This is one of our first sites, and so we're at 1269 Wilson Avenue. I also am an area commissioner in this community.
Very good. You hold many leadership positions in this community, and combining those roles with being a farmer, tell us about your farming background.
I've been learning along the journey. You know, I did not anticipate being a farmer in the regards of growing fruits and vegetables. I began taking some different courses in agriculture. It started with a course, Agricultural Academy, and it was a project that was sponsored by FSA, Farm Service Agency. It gave me some skills about farm business planning. I took that one course, which was about an eight-month course, and it is something a lot of the urban farmers that I work with now were in that course.
Definitely. As a new and beginning farmer, it is interesting to know that you acquire some training before you started farming, just like what any other profession would require to be successful. And it is evident how the new agricultural knowledge has positioned you to make great impacts in the community. So tell us, what is your particular interest in farming?
My passion was growing. I wanted to establish a nursery to grow nursery products, ornamental shrubs and flowers, and to have a seedling operation. So me and my wife, out of that OFA class, started Seedlings for Change. That was my passion. Is it starts with a seed. And seeing what can happen with a seed and with an idea in community. And, you know, sometimes the idea is the seed in community. There was a big disconnect in this community between the seniors that no longer would come out of their houses. They were really frightened of the youth in this community, and so they were not engaging them. We saw the need to connect with these seniors who had a story to tell, a story about growing their own food. You know, we started with that idea coming from the church, by having that communication, a safe place to transfer stories. And when I think about all the stories that has happened in the garden now, it is really something.
Absolutely. Stories are great ways to learn and to be educated. Also, your seed of change are yielding the necessary impact in the community. As a new beginning farmer, you are motivated by your inner desires. So now let's talk about food access and the barriers in your community. What are some of the challenges that exist for you as a farmer?
First of all, I guess as a farmer and understanding even in regenerative practices and sustainable practices is the word I always use for it, is integrated pest management and not using harsh pesticides, you know, for pest management or for weed control, you know, using things like Roundup or anything that can be harmful to the earth, that can get into the water system, or even that can harm life. You know, trying to understand of doing things sustainable, and a lot of times the pests would win. At the other property, we had been learning about four-season farming. But the challenge was, as fast as we was growing things here, the neighborhood wanted them, but we could not produce it fast enough. Like, hey, we need access to more land. And so the access to land became a challenge. And there was actually a third site that was in this community. You know, they were talking about the blight in this community at that time. You know, there was a lot of blighted houses. That's how these lots were created. And as Civic, you know, we wanted to remove the blight of those lots. And we understood the data that if someone spent time in these green spaces, that you could lower, you know, even violence and crime. But then when we went to apply for that third site, but I didn't know about gentrification. And to find out that this is happening right here in a community that I lived, that people were literally being forced out of their housing by the rising cost of housing and investors coming in. And so that lot that I wanted, they said, well, you can't have that lot. They said, because it's been promised to an investor. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. You had already said I could have it. And so there was a big shift, like, well, housing is more important. And I was like, well, I thought community wellness was more important. That's the message that I was receiving as Civic. You know, we thought we were addressing crime and safety and those things and trying to build community. But now you're saying that housing is more important. We are in a food desert also in this community. That is something I've learned. What looks like a desert is really apartheid. This was not naturally occurring, but through the process of redlining. Have not been pretty successful with grants. This season has been challenging. It's because I don't have the capacity to do both, to be in the field and then inside. And so, yeah, just here, it hadn't even, it's been 3 weeks ago, got a text message like, hey, did you know that the farm was being sold? And I'm like, huh? And so they sold the land because of intel coming, you know, to the Lincoln County area, and people are buying up land.
You mentioned quite a few challenges, and for sure, the biggest asset in agriculture is land and then having access to capital to drive your vision. It is unfortunate that the land you currently farm on has been sold, and this puts you in an uncomfortable situation of thinking and planning of what your next move would be. So this is one of the challenges that disrupts soil health goals, especially when the land is not owned by a farmer. So moving away from all those challenges, what are some opportunities or successes that you could recount?
And, you know, sometimes you got to partner with the giants. Some people think that I'm a giant. I'm not a giant. I'm an arm locker. Franklinton Farms, they were a giant. And so I met Becca right here, and we talked, and I said, you know, I need some help. And we wrote that USDA grant, and it's benefiting us now. You know, but it's not. And so that's what created the Community Grower Network. And from what I understand is there's some funding that getting ready to come to that Community Grower Network that we can now bring in other urban farmers, other resources that, you know, were stronger, you know, really can build some stuff. I did not mention as a resource where this started at in a big way, and it was Ohio State's Buckeye ISA, and that is where we started. That's what brought the families here, and that's how my grandchildren got involved. They had a mission that, hey, they wanted to take their annual budget of $40 million that they spent on their campuses, and they wanted to invest 39% of that in locally grown, locally sourced fruits and vegetables. And I'm like, They want to buy. They want to help us to grow it, give you the materials to grow it, and then they'll buy it. They want you to eat some of it, and they were doing biometric testing and all of that, but they had a thing that they was going to buy it. Well, I just need 1%. You know, I don't need that. We'll take 1%. And I started telling all the kids, like, hey, we could grow and we could sell to Ohio State. Access to land. And so being a man of faith, God opened up a door right at OFA. They were talking about putting land in conservation so that big investors could not take the land. And he was talking about that. And here it is. I was trying to get land. And he said, well, look, I've got some land. Let's talk after the session. And that is the land that I am farming on in Johnstown.
Wow. So you've kind of mentioned the support that you've gotten from your family and some organization. Do you have farmer-to-farmer support, extension support?
Yeah, really great extension support. I have friends in extension at Ohio State and Central State. Also some even in Dayton. They don't have an extension office, but they have an engineering office, even in the Steiner. So farm-to-farmer, those resources and that support that way to give encouragement, to give direction, different practices. There are peer support groups as a new beginning farmer. And so the relationship that has been developed at OFA has been a wonderful experience. Out of the OFA conference, there has been established a Black Farmer Network. We communicate as new beginning farmers and BIPOC. And some wonderful stories happen, you know, when we sit down and give people opportunity to tell their story, you know, and even to the indigenous community and to hear their story. You know, when we thought we had some challenges, or we thought we had it, to hear somebody else's story, oh, man, she had the whole room in tears, and, you know. But it was a powerful story of resilience. And, you know, although it was very hurtful, she was so determined that she was not giving up.
It is always cool that in addition to your passion, you have access to needed resources that could drive the vision. So as a new beginning farmer, have you been challenged by activities on the farm or more broadly your knowledge of agriculture?
When we got the property in Johnstown, we had never done in-ground. So that as a new beginning farmer, you know, establishing these beds out there was totally different. And so that land came, we had a tractor and a tiller. And so, yeah, I'm tilling all over the place and cutting the grass and BCS tractor to form these raised beds, the black fabric for weed, and, you know, we burn holes in it. We use drip irrigation there. And so even with that thing of no-till, you know, so the second year, we thought we were going to uncover those beds and top them with more organic material, and so it was a mess. Even in that organic material, and so composting.
Yeah.
Composting is another one that we do, the side dressing the bed. We haven't got to do that much of that because we have not been as successful yet in composting. And so we're still looking to really understand what you do put in your compost pile and what you don't.
You are a new beginning farmer, and I can say that regenerative agriculture offers opportunities for farmers to keep learning on the farm every day. Given your regenerative practices, what are some of the beneficial outcomes on your farm?
Regenerative practices, the thing of cover cropping. So yes, I have seen the evidence of cover cropping and how the roots can get into the soil and they loosen up the soil. And so even when I grow green beans and they have a really complex root system, that when I pull them up, I see how the soil is, you know, you can just shake the soil off. It's not all heavy. And so that soil regeneration, crop rotation has really been big. You know, I would recommend that everybody do that.
Truly, regenerative practices have shown to restore soil health and provide the needed resources for crops to grow healthy. Your journey is incredible, and it's super cool that you are maximizing the benefit of regenerative practices. And your practice influenced people in your community to start something similar to what Minister Aaron is doing.
So, you know, I noticed that when me and my wife were in the garden, we don't have a whole lot of words going, but it's so relaxing. And every now and then we'll meet at one place and just sit there for a minute, but just the joy of working in the garden. And so it has been inspiring to youth. But other farms have been more successful at organizing people to do that. And, you know, I have one in mind. And I remember when they started, they came by here and we had conversation. They learned some things that Minister Aaron was doing here and even sent some other people over to work and volunteer with me. And then they went back to their community.
Absolutely. It is good that you have mutual relationship with people and your farm has become a learning space for them to gain more knowledge about agriculture. How do you think small-scale farms can contribute to the sustainability of agriculture?
Cooperatives going to, you know, learning that, hey, you could grow all of this on your farm this year. And, you know, for that crop rotation, you know, you can grow all the brassicas, you can grow all the tomatoes, you can grow all that. And then power we can have by just working in a collaborative and planning together and the resources that can be, that we're stronger together, that we're stronger together.
You mentioned a very good point. Forming a corporation, I think, can help to eliminate competition and also promote shared resources that could help farmers on the farm to produce enough food for the community. To wrap up our discussion, if you have 30 seconds, what would be your advice to the next generation about what it means to grow regeneratively?
Value the soil, understand the soil, and the life that's in the soil to take care of it. You have to appreciate it, what the land gives. Keep it alive.
Taking care and valuing the land is important, and it is a source of food for today and tomorrow. And on this note, I want to appreciate Minister Aaron Hopkins for sharing his incredible farming journey with us. Minister Aaron K. Hopkins, a regenerative champion, saw the need to reconnect his community members through food. He has enjoyed support from Extension and other institutions to reduce food access barriers in his community. He, however, desires to have access to more funding and land to drive his passion. As we bring this episode to an end, thank you for listening to Regenerative Champion. We hope that you enjoyed the discussion on food access. Kindly watch out for the next episode as we bring yet another farmer and champion to discuss other issues on food security. Please like or comment about this episode. And for feedback, suggestion, and inquiries, feel free to send an email to the address asl@osu.edu. This project was made possible and supported in part by the Sustainability Institute at The Ohio State University. And I appreciate the guidance of my advisor, Dr. Joy Rumble. Are you ready to farm? Then you can be the next champion. Take care now and until next time.